the OTV Sports app. Listen to OTV Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTV Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I signed for them after the Euros. And after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? It was like I walked into a circus. It's amazing, isn't it?
9:36 a.m. this morning. Colm Buig is with us. Colm, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, sir. Morning, Owen.
So we wanted to continue a conversation that we were having yesterday on Deal or No Deal, and this is essentially about the big signing that Manchester City have made. Can Ruben Dias, age 23, save Manchester City's season? Or is Pep's period of domination in England done? And was it even that dominant?
The latter, I think. I think Pep Guardiola's done. I mean, this is unprecedented territory for Pep Guardiola into a fifth season as manager of a football club. And bear in mind, Pep has only been a senior manager for 12 years at three fantastic clubs with amazing options and the talent department. And he probably has taken this Manchester City side as far as it can go. In fact, if you're Ruben Dias, you're thinking, I'm only going to get a bit of Pep here before the next manager comes in, because I was fully sure that Pep was going to leave this past summer. And only for the cash appeal, maybe, in the Champions League, he stayed, because he promised his players he would stay if that appeal wasn't overturned. And I think with Pep now, he's kind of a bit in no man's land. And that Liverpool performance and result last night, despite what Roy Keane might say, would not have helped Pep's thinking there. So I think he's going to see this season out, and he might win another domestic cup, but it doesn't matter if you're Man City winning the League Cup, the FA Cup. It doesn't matter. It's totally irrelevant. You have to win the Premier League, and really, you have to mount some sort of realistic Champions League title challenge, which he hasn't been able to do since he arrived at the club in 2016.
Ruben Dias, though, might be that transformative piece who has the character required to drive the team on.
Well, we don't know. I mean, the only character that's driven the team on since Manchester City came into money is Vincent Kompany, consistently.
Fernandinho's done it a bit.
Yeah, Fernandinho's a very good player. See, what City have is they have a raft of excellent players. But I find that they don't quite fall apart, but they're very vulnerable when they're missing just one or two of their particularly outstanding players. So if Kevin De Bruyne isn't playing, it's very noticeable. If Fernandinho isn't playing, it's very noticeable. They're without a focal point now in the absence of Sergio Aguero. Whereas you compare them to Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool, and if Liverpool are missing one of their big three up front, they get by. They get results. You think with City is that they're so vulnerable. They're actually very fragile when they don't have the ball and when they're not dominating games. They're a far cry from the team of 2017 to 19, which, like, you would forget, probably especially because of COVID, because of so much has happened this year, that between those two seasons, Man City, they were arguably the best Premier League side that the league has seen since 1992. They played such attractive football. But maybe it's got to the point now where the players, they just had enough of Pep's intensity. And maybe it's the Miguel Delaney thing of, you know, managers have a certain peak and maybe Pep's on the other side of that. Or maybe he just needs a new challenge. I mean, New York is probably calling for Pep and that sabbatical, because I imagine he's going to take another one at the end of the season. And I feel a bit sorry for Ruben Dias, because I don't think he's going to be working with Pep that long.
The defenders that he has signed, and not just City, so he didn't sign Mangala or Otamendi. They were signed under the previous regimes. But Nathan Ake, 40 million. Kyle Walker, 47 million. John Stones, 50 million. Benjamin Mendy, 52 million. Aymeric Laporte, 58 million. João Cancelo, 58 million. Ruben Dias, 65 million. So, is it fair to say that of those players, only Laporte has got better?
I would say Kyle Walker's got better.
Has he? I don't think Kyle Walker is as good as everybody thinks he is.
I think he has. Look, Kyle Walker was never a great defender, but Pep knew that when he signed him. Like, well, with Walker, you get a great threat on the right-hand side, and that continues to this day. He's far from the most accomplished footballer, Walker, and he's certainly not an impressive defender. But you do get a lot of attacking threat with him from right full-back, which essentially is the job of a modern full-back. I mean, I can't think of many full-backs playing at the elite level of the game nowadays that has fantastic defensive abilities. It's more so going forward. And I think Walker is certainly one of the better versions of that type of player in the Premier League. With Aymeric Laporte, he's certainly been a very good signing since they signed him at the start of 2018. And only for that long-term injury layoff, I think you'll be looking at Laporte as one of the star defenders in the Premier League. So he's been fortunate in that sense. The other players you named, yeah, that's the problem. I remember Benjamin Mendy playing against Arsenal in one of his first games for the club, and he looked unbelievable at left back. He looks like such a consistent attacking threat with great technique and just a brilliant addition on the left-hand side. But he's kind of fallen off the cliff a bit like Pep, a bit like City. It's a microcosm of the overall problem at the club. And for City, I mean, there is a question of not quite where do they go from here, but who's going to come in after Pep? That's what I'm thinking of already. Who's going to replace Pep?
Kyle Walker, 4 assists last season, 1 big chance created in 29 appearances. Is that what you get for 50 million these days? 28, 2019, 33 appearances, 1 assist, 1 big chance created. This is according to the Premier League's official website. 2017, 2018, ooh, great season, 6 assists. That's exactly what I want for my best attacking fullback, like at a championship winning team. Like, this guy is vastly overrated, I think.
Well, if you're relying completely on stats and talking about assists only,
so you're saying that he's like, you're saying that he's definitely got better. Like, that seems to me like that's about what you were getting out of him before when he was at Spurs. It's about the same.
No, I'm not looking for my fullback to directly contribute double figure level of assists.
Has Pep made him a better player?
If I get that.
Is the question, and I'm like, you're saying, yeah.
I think he has, yeah. I think he's become a more accomplished player. Maybe statistically on the assist front, it doesn't actually represent a massive improvement, but I'm not looking at Kyle Walker for direct assists. That's not the job I'd be looking for him to do. I would be looking for him to contribute in an attacking sense, which I think he does.
I think people make a lot of excuses for Pep, because his Barcelona team was one of the best things that has ever happened in any sport ever. They were such a joy to watch. They put together some masterpieces in terms of the quality of football, and they elevated the game to a level that we haven't really seen it before or since. And that's great. Like, absolutely, it was absolutely amazing. But, like, the City era Pep is actually characterised by signings like Kyle Walker, where they haven't really improved to the level that you would expect them to, given what we've seen from Pep before. Maybe he's a slightly better player than he was at Spurs, and maybe he contributes from time to time, like, you know, with the fourth pass in a six-pass movement that leads to a goal, and so this doesn't show up in the stats. But ultimately, like, has he become one of the best right-backs in the world? Have any of the left-backs become one of the best left-backs in the world? Have any of the centre-backs emerged and gone, yeah, I am absolutely somebody that you want in your team when you're going to be building a foundational championship winning team who are going to compete deep into the Champions League and ultimately win it? And I can't look at any of the defenders. Like, what is the story with Cancelao? I like have yet to see him nail down first team. Presumably there's injury issues. Laporte, I mean, I think there's a bang of, in his absence, his reputation grew, but certainly I would accept that he has been a success. They haven't found a partner for him. Mendy, you're saying, looked brilliant in bits. Absolutely. And, like, I mean, maybe they don't even think of him as a defender anymore. John Stones is one of the biggest indictments of Pep Guardiola as a manager, I think. If they just bought him to meet the English quota, fair enough, you should say that, and you actually never had any intention of turning him into somebody. But John Stones was a defender who everybody thought was going to be a Rolls Royce. Somebody who could start plays off and dominate English football for the next couple of years, like as a new style of defender, has become nothing. And then, look, I don't know, maybe Nathan Ake's going to make it. I think it's far too early, and he's a really good player who's just starting out in his journey, and maybe a squad player. But at 40 million quid, you know, you would think. So they're the players he has bought. Who's he fixed?
Yeah.
What are you looking for from Pep? I mean, we knew when he joined Manchester City that he wasn't a particularly great defensive coach.
But hang on a second. Hire one. You got a staff of 12 people. If he's not the guy, make somebody on your staff be the guy. And everybody should become a better footballer. Have any of them become better footballers?
Well, yeah, I think Kyle Walker's become a better player, a better footballer. Yeah, he's not become a better defender, which is the overall point. I mean, Pep has never really made anybody a particularly great defender. Sure, he moved Philipp Lahm out of defence into midfield when he was Bayern Munich manager. And then finally, he signed Javier Mascherano from Liverpool for Barcelona and moved them back in to centre-back because he just wants his players to play. I mean, this is a conversation, Ger, we were having yesterday off-air, that for Pep, his defence is just an extension of his midfield and he wants everybody to be able to play ball. He bought Chigorinsky from Shakhtar Donetsk when he was Barcelona manager. I remember that. And the guy lasted a year, the Ukrainian defender. And he was in that Barcelona documentary a few years ago, Graham Hunter documentary, and said that he just could not handle the high-octane passing that Pep demanded from his players. So he is not good with out-and-out defenders. But football's modernised. He's moved on from that. The problem with Pep is that I don't think it's a defence issue. I think Pep himself has peaked at Man City. That's the overall problem. I wouldn't worry that he's not a particularly great defensive coach. I mean, Jose Mourinho, by all accounts, his AMO is concentrate on the defence, get the defence very solid, the foundation very, very solid, defensive midfield as well, and let his attacking third go about their business and create whatever you want, which became massively problematic at Manchester United because the modern football wants detailed instruction, i.e. what Jurgen Klopp gives his players at Liverpool. So that's why Mourinho struggles nowadays. Guardiola went the other way. Very detailed instruction to his attacking players. I mean, Georgi Kiklatsi, iconic Manchester City player, if he picks up that ball deep on the right-hand side nowadays for Man City, he is not scoring that iconic goal. Pep is saying, find your pass, find your angle. Look at what we did in training.
Yeah, work on that. Hang on. We've got way late from the central thesis here is that he's bought badly in his defence or he has been unable to make those players into better players. And you mentioned Klopp. Klopp is the example of players coming into his team. The Andy Robertson one is the most obvious one, where he takes a player and he turns him into somebody who may not be the best defender in the world, but is certainly a far better footballer. And we can at least say that, like, he understands what he's supposed to do. Virgil has become even better to the point where he's footballer of the year. Granted, he's playing with better team and better players. I just think that we've reached a point now where Pep's failings. The Barcelona thing, like the options that he had were actually better. So he inherits the team. Puyol is there and Piqué are there, and they are excellent defenders. And it's the peak of it's the long sustained period where Piqué is an excellent defender. Mascherano going in alongside him actually did have good defensive instincts, and perhaps Guardiola was able to turn him from a centre back. From a centre midfielder into a centre back, and at some point he was able to do this. Like, I would actually argue that the point and that example proves that he just can't do it anymore, or has been failing to do it. So a lot rests on the kid that they've just signed from Benfica to come in and be a boss at 23.
I think there's a chance as well, as if there is a set of conditions here where that Ruben Dias comes in and it's the odds are stacked against him immediately, that it is set up in a way where your central defenders are destined to fail almost. I can't quite put my finger on whether or not you're right about Pep being unable to coach defenders, because he seems that he has made players better, just none of those players have been central defenders. It's the only thing. Like, Fernandinho has been better under Pep Guardiola. A lot of his attributes are shown on a defensive standpoint. Like, then you look at the other players that have got better, and it's probably just down to age. Like, you talk about Sterling. Like, I thought Sané took a step up under Pep. You think about Bernardo Silva. Gabriel Jesus for a while as well. Like, I mean, the jury could still be out there. But I definitely think there's a disparity here. If you're picking the players that have got better under Pep, they seem to be attacking players. Then again, like, they're a 100-point season, and still to this day, their attacking prowess is based on their pressing without the ball as well. I mean, it's not the same as Liverpool's pressing, but it's not a million miles away, where players have to be coached in there without the ball attributes. And he has been good at that in certain ways. but he's also been left wanting in other ways as well. And I think there's definitely truth in just there's something missing about how he's getting the most out of his central defenders at the very least, because like you're right about Benjamin Mendy. Like I even thought after the restart last season, he looked really good at times, and just the inconsistencies are coming back.
Ruben Diaz going to save them, yes or no, Colm?
No, no.
You're saying that they're unsavable and that he'll be gone at the end of the season?
I think Pep will be gone at the end of the season. I'm sure Ruben Diaz will have a long and fruitful career at Manchester City, but it won't be with Pep Guardiola.
And if they win the Champions League, will he stick around?
For the Champions League?
If they win the Champions League, will Pep Guardiola stick around?
No. I think he'll be aiming to leave on a high, but I think he'll go either way in the summer of 2021. I think he's gone.
Okay. Do you give them any chance of winning the Champions League?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Because they're good enough going forward.
Fair enough.
Score a team.
I think, the knockout football, obviously, is going to give everybody an opportunity. OK, so Manchester United are refusing to give up their pursuit of Borussia Dortmund's England forward, Jadon Sancho, making them seem a little bit creepy at this point. Is this move still possible or even likely? How much of an indictment to Manchester United is if they don't just put up and pay up?
I think Manchester United will sign Jadon Sancho, but I don't think it will be in this transfer window. You know, Dortmund came out yesterday with a statement saying, kind of, why would we sell now when we can probably get better value for him next summer, once hopefully COVID has dissipated a bit and the transfer market improves for the seller and there's more clubs interested who are willing to pay the 120 million. Now, a lot of clubs and agents and players talk bluster in the last week of a transfer window, so nothing shocks you in football. So Sancho could be a United player come the end of this week, but I would give it 4.5 out of 10. That it will happen in this window. So just slightly less than 50% chance, because I think the player wants to go to United.
What's the reason point of waiting until the next window?
It won't happen.
Why wait until the next window?
They don't want... Are you from a Sancho point of view or from a United point
of
view?
From Manchester United, it's literally pointless waiting the extra time.
They want him now. They want him now, but they're not going to get him now. Like, that's my point.
But pay the money.
United definitely want him. No, they're already stalling over Alex Telles and for about £6 million.
Well, that's
the difference. This has proven to be the team of Man United in the last 7 years post Alex Ferguson. They're trying their best to be the tough men in transfer markets, and they're being laughed at by all the other clubs.
And how did it work out over Bruno? Waiting that extra window for Bruno. How did that work out?
Well, it's good now, but we, of course, United should have had him for a full season, yeah. But we have him now.
And he'd be even better now. You mentioned Alex Telles. The latest reports are not good from a Manchester United perspective. Apparently, they are in deadlock over the player's valuation.
Yeah, you're talking the... go on.
Apparently, they bid something like £6 million for him. Why can't they just do their business? Like, in fairness to City, they identified a player who will improve the team, they think. I mean, obviously, their record at buying defenders is atrocious, but they identified Ruben Diaz and said, OK. And there wasn't like a six-month saga, certainly, that was made public. They got him. And yet, here we are with every single one of United signings, generally. There's like, with the exception of Van de Beek, here we are all talking about it because it leaks.
Well, first of all, Manchester City have Pep Guardiola as manager, so that's an incredibly attractive proposition for a prospective signing. You compare that to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Manchester United, not so much, unless you're a United fan. It's not very enticing. Secondly, United are weak in the transfer market, i.e. they're the people that actually are in charge of transfers. So Ed Woodward, Matt Judge, by all accounts, Matt Judge is difficult to contact at times during this transfer window. So we don't have a great team front of shop to bring the players in. And we seemingly only attract players who actually want to sign for the club overall and ignore the current situation. So it is no surprise to me that United struggle to get players in. What's infuriating from a United supporter's point of view is that they're haggling over £6 million by all accounts for Telles, who is, all Telles is going to do is provide competition, much needed competition at left back for Luke Shaw. But if we could just swallow the pride front, because this pride is getting us nowhere. Just pay the fees as United have the money. And then eventually, when United start returning to some sort of semblance of on-pitch success, we'll regain the respect. And then hopefully we can negotiate a bit better when it comes to the transfer market. But for now, we just need the players. because United are desperately short in certain areas. And if you can't get Jadon Sancho in this window, which I don't think they will, you should be looking at someone like Ivan Perisic to tie us over for the next 18 to 24 months.
What's the story with Manchester United going and chatting with a player first before chatting with a club? Is this actually harming their bargaining position? Because this seems to have happened with Jadon Sancho. They've agreed personal terms, but they can't agree terms. Like, I mean, anybody who's played Football Manager knows that you talk to the player after you talk to the club. They're talking to the club after talking to the player. So the club are aware that they've already talked to the player, knowing that they really want the player and therefore pushing up the price a little bit. Is that not just really bad bargaining?
Yeah, and also I think that clubs and agents are taking advantage of the fact that United are really weak in the transfer market, and they are out-negotiating them and basically outwitting them in this standoff. So United appear to go about this in the wrong way. I mean, Danny van de Beek is the outlier. I don't know how that transfer was secured, considering Barcelona were interested in his services too. But again, he just wanted to join United. He wanted to join Manchester United as opposed to the current United setup. That's all that United have going for them at the moment, is the long-term reputation of the club. So going directly to the player obviously isn't working for United. And when they go directly to the club, they get outpriced, or they would see as being messed around with in the transfer window, because clubs know that United have a whole lot of money to spend. And they also know that they're desperate for reinforcements. So it's not good for United.
They're just really bad at playing it cool.
I mean, they're impossible. Like, a couple of quick things, right? So players that they're trying to get out. Daniel James is now apparently available to join Leeds United on loan, according to The Sun, but only if they sign Jadon Sancho. And Lazio are in talks to sign Andreas Pereira on a season-long loan with an option to buy. Those options to buy from Italian clubs are kind of like, oh, yeah, 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 we'll definitely try and buy him at the end of the season. Oh, 100%, no problems. And it's like, not a chance. They can't get rid of the players who are sitting on fat contracts because they're just really bad at business. They gave everybody the Alexis Sanchez money, and then that benchmarked everybody else underneath him at like whatever level that was at. You were saying, you know, a lot of players don't want to come and join Manchester United. If I was 22 and really only interested in making money and playing a bit of football and having the lifestyle, I think Manchester United would be a brilliant place to go. If you want to go and be hard work and have someone nag you day in, day out about every single thing in your life, Pep Guardiola doesn't sound like a, you know, like a bundle of fun there. I can see why a certain type of player would be attracted to Manchester United. Those who are interested in Instagram, those who are interested in fashion and shoes, you know, not football.
No, I think if you're a 22-year-old who United are interested in, you're probably more likely than not going to have other interests as well. And it's better for your overall career, especially when you're 22, to go to another club at the same level, because players attached to United over the last 7 years don't come out of it very well on the other side. Bruno Fernandes is going against the grain so far, 6 months into his United career. But otherwise, you're associated with this failing project. I mean,
or you're rich. Jesse Lingard's rich.
You're going to be rich no matter what if you're at that level of the game. It doesn't really matter who you go to. You're talking a few grand either way, but you're going to be rich.
You're talking a few million either way.
If Manchester United are interested in you, you're going to have other clubs interested in you. You're probably better off going to a different type of a club.
So the final question on this is, which is worse, their inability to get rid of the crap that they don't want, or their inability to get the players that they do want, who may, it turns out, just be the new variation of the old crap that they didn't want in 18 months' time?
Oh, no, it's the inability to get the players in. I mean, getting players out is a bonus, and they need to lighten the load in that way. I think the Pereira deal with Lazio is an obligation to buy, so he will leave. And Daniel James will probably go to Leeds as well, because Leeds, I think, were the only other club interested in James when United were signing him from Swansea City. So those two will probably leave. But no, it's far more important and imperative that United bring players in that will actually add to the squad. The problem with United is it's a completely bloated squad, and the players that aren't playing at the moment, who aren't in the strongest starting 11, i.e. the team that played against Brighton at the weekend, with the exception of Van de Beek, do not make United stronger. The strongest 11 against Brighton was the strongest team plus Van de Beek. So they need players who would genuinely improve the squad. And then one or two of those players in the starting 11 can then go onto the bench. Then suddenly you have a very good team. The thing about this Premier League season is this dystopian football that we're playing now, with fanless stadia and joyless goals. It's like a training session, basically, that you're watching, is that like 19 out of the 20 Premier League teams are incredibly inconsistent at the moment. So really, United, with the starting 11 that played against Brighton, can probably beat about three quarters of the sides in the Premier League. You don't know which three quarters because everyone's so inconsistent, but they probably, it's probably good enough to beat most teams in the Premier League. But then you look at it on the other side, and that very same team are never going, they're never going to win a title. They're not a title-winning side. So that's the difference. So you have to get that last part, which is the most crucial part, which United have proved that they cannot do in the last 7 years.
All right.
So something needs to fundamentally change structurally.
The point about training is a good one. Aidan McGeady was always apparently the world's best trainer. Somebody should sign him quickly and add him to the team. The last one is that I wanted to just bring up here was there was something about Arsenal trying to sign. Yeah, Arsenal have been given until Friday, Owen, to complete the signing of Houssem Aouar by Lyon president Jean-Michel Aulas. They've just got to do him just for the sake that we can just go with, say his name. Right, do it.
Well, 100%. If you can get him or Partey before at the end of the week, that will be a very, very successful week. And I mean either or. You get them both, it's an amazing week, but they could probably only afford one or the other. They need a player like that. And they also need a player like Partey. They desperately need to fill both of those midfield positions, the defensive midfielder and the creative midfielder, two vital positions. So it will be a great week's work of our... That's it. Sorry, I couldn't quite nail it just like you. Would be a good week if he was an Arsenal player come the end of it.
It would be great.
Don't Arsenal need defenders? Doesn't every team besides Liverpool base need a centre half?
If they're called Aouar or Partey, I'm on board with them signing defenders. Otherwise, that seems to be a lot of teams' policy at the moment, signing on name value alone. Right, that is Deal or No Deal. Colin, thanks very much.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day of training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking, regretting it, what have I done? Like I walked into a circus. It's amazing, isn't it?
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.